Welcome to Wellness Works with Centria of Eddie's Wellness and Resource Center located in Baltimore, Maryland. Today, our guest is Trek with 2Ks of Trek Consulting. And a few things I want you guys to jot down. He has a podcast called Trekking Cryptos to Connect. That's on Anchor FM. And the link to that is anchor.fm/trek, T-R-E-K-K. And so there are a couple things that we're going to cover today. We're going to make sure that you get information on upcoming events as well before we finish today, that Trek feels is important, or that is just current events that you guys should probably take the time to stop in on so you can get more information. Hello, Trek. How are you today?
Hey, what's going on? How are you doing? How's your holidays?
So far, they've been very different this year, and it's a good thing in one way, and in another way, it's just interesting to see how life changes. How life changes, how it throws things at you that you're not expecting, but instead of viewing them now as obstacles, I'm beginning to just view them as changes in the dynamic that may actually be to my benefit if I just go with it.
There's definitely a lot of learning moments happening at this point of the year. I can definitely attest to that.
Yes.
I'm definitely learning some things this latter half of the year.
Yes. And most of it just has to do with, for me anyway, has to do with, I won't say relinquishing expectations, but just realizing that everything's not going to necessarily fall into the box, so to speak, that you think that it should, or that you perceive that it is going to initially, and then just being okay with that. So, and not everybody functions the same way.
Uh-huh.
And basically allowing people, giving people the time to catch up to where you know they should be functioning and operating, and being okay with waiting on them to get where you know they would function optimally and not becoming frustrated with their process as you go through your own, because actually I've found that it indirectly helps to show you where you are in your process, which is also great if you're keeping your eyes open.
That's a real in tune thing that I definitely resonate with on just for what I'm going through now, mm-hmm. and understanding the whole thing of being able to read the signs that are being presented in front of you,
mm-hmm.
as well as just getting more of that internal dialogue and mm-hmm. finding your balance place and realizing that it's okay to not have everyone be, you know, your fan, quote, or how your journey works out is not how other people tell you.
Right.
You know, but not to get too far off and get into that whole next level, but yeah.
Right.
We understand what's going on this part of the year. 2020 ain't ready yet.
Right. And that's the other thing, too. I think there's, again, not to go too far off to the right or the left or however people want to categorize it, but there is there's an anticipation for most of the people I've come across. Most of the people I've come across are very expectant for 2020 to be a year where they actually are strongly feeling. That they will see some form of manifestation of the investment that they've put in. be it personal, financial, whatever it is, people are expecting. They're waiting for 2020 to come with great expectation. So I think with that, that also what we're talking about today as far as the crypto space, I think the same applies there. I think people are looking with great expectation to see where is it going to go next, what is it going to look like, what should they be looking for. Yes, there's a lot of information online that people can have access to, but then the other part of that is decrypting or decoding that information when it's not in plain speak. And so with that, actually, I was reading one of your articles, and the particular...
I don't even know what it was I wrote. Okay, what did I say?
It was, well, it's actually two different articles, but they kind of go together, where what I was just speaking on goes is one of them had to do with including the general public more in the crypto space, and then the other was one where you had an apology article to the general public. And in that, you said help comes from providing people with solutions that aid them in accomplishing their goal, not just telling them what stops them from attaining it. And so when we look at people going into 2020 with great expectation, well, yeah, there has to be a solutions-based process happening so that people don't trip themselves up in attaining whatever goal or whatever vision that they have. Because if they stay focused on the barriers, they won't get to the goal. And then the other part that you said, you referenced to as far as including general public, had to do with mental barriers, understanding the how-tos in this space. So when we're talking about looking for solutions and getting people past those mental barriers, as you've had dialogue with people, how would you characterize a mental barrier that you've encountered where a person was able to walk away with a solution that they could immediately use?
Oh man, that's like question A in a subsection. This, so all right, I wrote those a while ago.
Okay.
And honestly, I think that they still apply, at least for me. And what I'll say as far as the mental barrier, most of the time, or let's say, prior to this 2019 year, we used to hear a lot more about, you know, the barriers to entry being financial, technical, and education-based primarily. And through my conversations and, you know, different places I've been and people I've met, one of the things that I started to notice was there was another barrier that we weren't addressing, which was the mental barrier of people who, because of, you know, how we are taught within the bigger society of, well, money is the jurisdiction of the government. The government is the one that's supposed to deal with everything that deals with finances. Uncle Sam says blah, blah, blah. The centralized authority, the bank says, you know, you can only do this, or we can't help you with these financial instruments because you're not of a certain economic class.
Mm-hmm.
This technology comes in and says, guess what? None of that crap matters.
Right.
And so I had a recent conversation on this one, in that the technology in the use case of cryptocurrency is still being unpackaged. Like, it's literally like you got a gift for Christmas,
mm-hmm.
and you still trying to pull the bow off to what, like, is really inside this container that is going to... How to say this? We're still exploring what the full actual features are of this technology in the use case of the utility of a cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that we can, quote, spend with it. We know that we can save it and use it as a store of value, like it's a digital gold or silver. We know that we can use the real tech part of it as a way to say, well, this digital thing is going to represent something in the real world, and I could transfer ownership of it to another person.
Okay.
That is a conceptually and practically, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are very, very different concepts from how we traditionally look at hard assets, how we look at digital assets, how we look at the distribution of such things, how we look at the controlling rights, who has authority over it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's all a whole new ball game. And in this new field that is being set up, the people who, quote, are supposed to be the knowledgeable, you know, central authorities as far as the government or, like, private sector for putting out such types of technology and regulations, they're still scratching their head trying to figure out how do we even categorize this? Because mm-hmm. the general thing is something either fits in box A or it fits in box B. You don't have something that go, oh, it's actually multiple boxes. Wait, if it's multiple boxes, then whose jurisdiction is this? Mm-hmm. If it's multiple boxes, how do we bring it back to one box? Guess what? You can't do that because it's all based on open source technology. Without getting too far into technical banter, the point of this thing as far as the mental barrier is people don't know in the general everyday person is like, wait. You're telling me that something out here has multiple features, like it's a Swiss Army knife, mm-hmm. and you're just going to give this to me and anyone can use it anywhere? Mm-hmm. Whoa. Like, that is a very heavy concept to, like, take in, especially when you've only been taught to be able to use a regular knife with only one sharp side edge, and all you can do is cut bread.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very different thing to then give someone this multifunction tool and be like, hey, go do what you want to do with it, and then let's see what you come up with.
Right.
Like, so it's heavy in that way, and that's part of that mental barrier thing. And I mean, from where we were in 08 to now, X amount of the population and a very, very, very small part of the population has been messing around with it for like the last 10 plus months, years, quote, mm-hmm. you know, and we have come away as far as apps and like the different businesses that are now coming out of, like, you'd be surprised how many investment funds are being started up around this, and like here in the States, over in Asia, over in Europe, down in the Caribbean. So my point is that there are businesses developing around this technology, around the use case of crypto. Who was it? Fidelity just made an announcement, I think it was either last month, with something they were doing as far as mining and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you know nothing about how this thing actually works, don't even worry about that part of it. If you just keep hearing about this thing called crypto and it's this thing called, you know, Bitcoin and it looks like a coin and all whatever, here's the bottom line. At the end of the day, what is happening right now is money is being upgraded to a new medium. Every which way you look at this across the board, if you talk to someone who's actually in the space, like somebody who actually either trades or they've been hodling for a while or they work for a company or they're a content creator, they write articles, across the board, everyone's going to tell you this thing isn't going anywhere because now the governments and the private companies, in particular the tech and the financial companies, are publicly making statements.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, France made an announcement last week that they're going to start making an introduction into their education system about blockchain. Deutsche Bank, or it might have been HSBC, that made a statement about them using a version of a blockchain for their stuff. SoftBank, I think, is also, which is a Japanese-based company that's behind WeWork. It also made a recent announcement. There's a lot of activity going on at higher levels and people with deeper pockets that are looking to get in on this. And when I say get in, I mean in regards to investing in the companies that will make the new protocols, that will make the new infrastructure, that will make the technology thing that when you walk into the supermarket, you know, you just scan your QR code thing and it's connected to whatever crypto thing you have and boom, like you paid off whatever it was you bought. Those things are discussions that are happening. Those things are more than just concepts. Like, people are trying to figure out how to make these things happen now. And I'm not saying this is going to be a tomorrow and like like 3 years, you know, you'll have like like scandalous checkouts. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is we're moving at a much faster pace than people thought we would when it came to this blockchain thing. Again, simple thing is, it's an open source based technology. So there's a bunch of different creative, smart minded people or people who are just curious all around the world who are like, well, hey, how can I make this better? Oh, I have an idea. Let me try it out. And at the end, like, I would say, and I'm not getting into like price talk stuff. I'm just talking about usability stuff. Within the next let's say 3 to 5 years, right? For all the coins and tokens and whatever that are out there, it's going to get down to like a real, relatively small handful. Because at the end of it, we're going to get to what's actually workable, what's actually usable, that everyone can like get to a degree. So for example, right, the crypto wallets now that are available now, you can literally go in the Google store, you can go in the iTunes joint, and you can download a wallet, and you could do it now where you get the wallet, you know somebody who has some Bitcoin or they have some Litecoin, and they'd be like, oh, send me $5. Okay, here's $5. You can then take like $250 and do what is called an in-app conversion. That wasn't something that was like possible 3 years ago in a wallet app. You had to go on an exchange, and there was a whole thing about like worrying about the security factor because of like where the exchange might have been set up. Like, it was a whole bunch of other complicated stuff. I want to make it sound like it was rocket science, but if this wasn't your like forte, or you weren't comfortable enough, or somebody didn't show you how to do it, it was a lot more that went into this. Now it's literally just a like, all right, let me swipe my finger around a couple of times, and I took something that was, I took some Bitcoin and I made it into Litecoin. That's it. Like, literally, that's it. I swiped my finger maybe four times, depending on the app. And now I change it over and bam, I'm good to go. And that probably took like 5 minutes. It's a whole different ball game. If you're still going, oh man, like he's talking like some weird science stuff. I got a CPA. My CPA does my taxes stuff for me. If you're in an American jurisdiction, you definitely got to make sure you stay on your relative P's and Q's when it comes to the taxes side of it, especially if you're dealing with like, if you're a trader, if you're somebody who's looking to integrate it somehow in your business, make sure you find somebody who actually knows what this stuff is. And there's definitely a growth in regards to accountants, CPAs, and I forgot what the other term is. There's another category for people who can deal with like tax issues. And I, oh God, and I interviewed somebody who does this too, but I can't remember what the title is. The point being is, when you see the tax people starting to move over to this space, guess what? It's going to stay here as a thing. Why? Because at the end of the day, we all know the government always wants its cut.
Right. So, you gave some really strong points that could give some people that maybe were on a fence about whether or not to even invest even a small amount into this currency as to why maybe if they were considering it, maybe they should at least take something they're willing to, for lack of a better term, gamble with, and see how it can work for them. I know I was speaking with someone who was a small business investment tax advisor, and he let me know that a lot of times people aren't encouraged to invest into cryptocurrencies because of the initial structuring of it, who holds the pot, basically. And the description he was giving me as he was describing the initial setup of it, immediately I thought about the stock market, 1930, you know, how the powers that be, the people that held the money, actually caused the crash because they wanted to manipulate the system and they didn't want the regular man to be in on that yet, if ever. So I understood where he was coming from. And it made sense, but at the same time, based off of the information that you're providing and the push from the global economy, I don't think that we're going to have to be concerned about that devastating of a type of event. But however, like, people did notice the drop in the value of the currency from the time that it initially hit that high, and then when it was pretty much riding around 5,000 for a while. And when I spoke to someone that was encouraging me to start a wallet, they flat out told me that, oh, the currency was, you know, the rate was dropped because they want more people to get into it, you know. And I'm like, okay. So how else does that work? And so again, that still feeds back into what that tax investment person was saying. Like, well, they can manipulate it. It can still be too easily manipulated right now. And that's why it's not necessarily always advice for people to invest in that from that particular type of institution. You know, they'd rather people go with the other stuff that they know how to handle, put it that way, you know. And they know that the traditional stock market, it's no way they're going to allow an absolute crash again because they know they can't afford it. You know what I mean?
Okay, let me jump in on that one. Yeah. So here's what I'm gonna say, and let me preface this with: I'm not a CPA.
Right.
I don't have an economics degree. I'm not a historian by academia standards. I'm just somebody who's been in this space for a little bit. I pay attention to certain people and the information that they present that is, like, way more smarter than me.
Right.
And here's a couple of things that I've come to learn about how our system is set up.
Mm-hmm.
If you have your money in a bank, everyone goes, oh, the bank is insured by the FDIC.
Mm-hmm.
As the regular IRA level person, if Wells Fargo went under, if Bank of America went under, one bank can literally wipe out the whole budget of the FDIC. Mm-hmm. That's the first part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The second part is, if a bank was actually allowed to go under, which I think when the next recession happens, they're not going to say anything like too big to fail, because
right,
they can't run that line no more. But the other thing of if a bank actually does fail, when it comes to who gets the money first, it's the people who were the investors in the bank. Regular bank account holders, y'all, like, we're so far at the bottom of the totem pole.
Right.
It don't even matter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's one, and that whole, like, the bank situation thing. As far as the stock market stuff is concerned, when people tell me, oh, yeah, look, the stocks are doing great because we see this volume. First off, GM, Apple, name any one of the FANGs, Deere, which is the industrial-level farming equipment manufacturer, all of those companies do stock buybacks.
Mm-hmm.
They're literally borrowing money at damn near zero interest rate to then go to the public and be like, hey, we'll buy back those stocks from you. That is a artificially fake volume.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that there's no real, quote, manufacturing or, like, actual wealth being created of a product being sold. They're inflating their numbers by doing stock buyback, which is, quote, technically legal, right?
Mm-hmm.
But someone's going to tell you, oh, you should invest in this company because the price point of it is marked at this publicly, but they're not telling you how the numbers are actually made.
Mm-hmm.
Little things like those is why I'm just like, you know what? I'm not going to mess with that stuff like that, because I understand how that stuff works, but that's just me and my little small realm, right?
Mm-hmm.
I only control the 2 square feet that I stand on. And again, I'm not a financial advisor, so I can't tell you, no, don't go do that. I can just tell you, hey, maybe you might want to read that article that talks about how General Motors gets money from the government to then come to you and talk about, hey, let me buy back those 100 shares of stock that you bought, and how that then goes towards what looks like high market volume. You know, like, the point being is that the information is out there that shows there's a lot of fake propping going on.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, even on this crypto side thing, there's definitely pockets of power that are doing things to manipulate the price fluctuation. There's mm-hmm. no question on that. Anybody who's been at this long enough knows that that's happening,
mm-hmm.
right? The difference within this setup, arguably, is that if you actually went through the process of exposing yourself to getting whatever crypto thing you got,
mm-hmm.
and you control your private keys on your own wallet,
mm-hmm.
not a third-party wallet,
mm-hmm.
not a derivative, not a EFT kind of digital asset version, literally it is, hey, here's my wallet, whether it be a smartphone wallet or a desktop wallet or a hard wallet, whatever. When all of this other craziness goes on, at the end of the day, you still have control of that digital asset for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't understand, like, when you put your money in the bank can literally just be like, no, we're not going to give it back to you. And unless you got the money of a really high-powered lawyer, assuming you didn't do nothing illegal to begin with,
mm-hmm.
they can literally just be like, nah, we're not giving you the money back. Or we're not giving you, quote, the money you put in.
Mm-hmm.
This happens way more often than people realize. And I know I'm going off on a tangent. I apologize to the listeners. My point to this whole ramble is that for where we are right now in the world of, like, modern day society and, you know, financial vehicles and digital assets and cryptos and da 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 da, all of this is about the appearance of convenience and, quote, being aesthetically pleasing and comfortable in this environment that we live in called modern day life, mm-hmm. right? You got people who have the latest smartphone because why? Oh, I got this thing that costs like $1,000+. What is it? The new phone. The new phone that they about to put out for T-Mobile's the 5G thing is like $1,000 to $1,300.
It's ridiculous. All of them that are ridiculous.
That was the price of a desktop computer back in like 2009.
Right.
But yet you could do 10 times more stuff on that phone than you could do on a desktop. Like.
Right.
So we get into this whole thing about, well, how much that thing costs, or, you know, if you have it, that means like you're at a certain a certain status because you have that physical thing. Or we get into this whole thing of like, oh, you know, everything is great going on in the world right now. So when they when they talk about how the economy is doing great because X amount of jobs got put into circulation, you got to understand how they actually use the metrics and change the standards to come up with those numbers.
Right.
And then you got to also look at what happens when they put out the revised numbers, like I think 30 days or something later. Mm-hmm. They're never the same as the number that they put out. And this has been going on since Obama's first term,
mm-hmm.
right? We live in this thing of modern day society, and everyone wants to have the appearance of doing better than what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
I would not tell anyone that cryptos or, you know, some other thing outside of fiat is the only thing that's going to save you.
Right.
Like, I've definitely been in this long enough to come to the understanding that this is a option,
mm-hmm.
but it is a option that you have to educate yourself enough about and be comfortable enough with to be able to move fluidly, mm-hmm. right? So, like, for example, what is it? In the 80s, 70s, and pretty much all time, or the older heads would be like, oh, just get into some commodities of precious metals.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, like the whole crypto thing is the competition for some people. It is the competition to gold and silver,
mm-hmm.
depending on how you're looking at it. If you're a hardcore gold bug, you have it in your own personal vault. You don't mess with ETFs. So,
right.
Cryptos wouldn't be a thing for you because it's not, quote, tangible.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a new age person, you understand that value is now placed within the digital space that never existed before because we just didn't have the technology before that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now, yeah, like, look at it this way, man. If you got a kid and your kid plays any game system right now, digital assets as far as like skins for whatever game, whether it's Fortnite, whether it's like what is it, 2K, whether it's like Rainbow Six, whether it's whatever game itself you want to talk about,
mm-hmm.
there's a whole new level of appreciation for digital assets that like our generation and older, the okay boomers, boomers definitely don't have a level of appreciation for it, but like ours, but more so the Y geners, the Z gen, the alpha, and the, like the beta, they have a whole different level of appreciation for value that is not tangible in the quote real world.
Mm-hmm.
Hence why I make the argument of what we see happening right now is a upgrade in the medium of money, in the medium of what value is as far as a digital asset, because the technology is upgrading.
Mm-hmm. So So with that, and you mentioned that at least two banks are starting to incorporate the cryptocurrencies as an option to people's banking experience. How much revenue do you think that most traditional banks would need to lose to really realize that they are in competition with these no-fee app banking entities, these gig economy entities? Like, I really see every time I play a game on my phone, there's an advertisement for a basically an app experience bank, like, you know, another type of wallet, basically, because they always advertise there's no fees and yada 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 and all of that. And I'm like, wow, they're going to put so many traditional banks out of business. Even when you look at technologies like Cash App, even though they had their issues, the fact that you can move money and buy and sell and trade a loan and share money through apps like Cash App, and then that money never has to go back to a bank. It can sit in that app, and you can do all of your transactions right from that app.
And then you see what they did now. They pushing the card. PayPal pushing the card now. Mm-hmm. Cash App has the option for you to use Coinbase on the back end to buy Bitcoin and Ethereum and Litecoin.
Yes, they
do. How about USAA? USAA pushed it in. I don't know when they did the push, but you can now, on USAA, you can, I think you can do like recurring buys. Through Coinbase. I think it might be BitPay. I don't remember who the back end is. Mm-hmm. But the point being is, USAA did the move. Okay? Wow. All the military folks, all my battles out there.
Right.
USAA now has the option for you to go get into crypto. And you know what? To me, when I saw that, and I literally saw this like maybe 2 weeks ago, and I rarely use the desktop.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go in and look for something. And I seen it, and I was like, wait, when did this happen?
It was very recent.
See, exactly.
Yeah, so it was probably within the last 2-3 weeks as far as being, like, public knowledge. Because before that, there was nothing.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that means that a significant amount of the population, they was looking at where those spend transactions was going, and they was like, yo, we seeing an uptick in people going to this exchange, that exchange, Coinbase, stuff is going over to this wallet. We need to get something going on our platform to do X amount of retention to keep the user base here.
Right.
Like, that's the bottom line of that situation. Right. If anybody has any doubt, again, on whether this new money medium is here to stay, once you start seeing slow centralized authorities like banks saying, all right, bet, like, we got to figure out how to get some kind of financial vehicle or some option or some feature that incorporates this thing, you know they have done the calculations and saw, hey, X amount of the population or X amount of our user base is moving in this direction, and we either need to do something to jump ahead of the curve, or we need to at least do something to last long enough in this particular direction so that we don't get left behind or like swallowed up when the major banks like Chase or JP Morgan and them make their move.
Right. But yeah. So, and then that's like, you know, USAA is like, everybody looks at that as like this federal bank. So again,
because it's so not.
It's not. It's still a private entity. But but it's just that. But they don't. If you look in their advertisement, because they cater to military, they don't shy away from that federal, if people want to associate them with some type of connection to federal government, you know. So it's all interesting. I won't use the word parasitic, but maybe it's we'll say it's more symbiotic, where people are starting to catch on. But sometimes it is parasitic. But at the end of the day, it's just interesting to sit back and watch and see all of these things happen, and to see how long it took, because I really didn't think it was going to take this long for the banks, especially a bank like USAA, to offer that as a form of investment in some way, shape, form, or fashion, with as much investment portfolios, different types of portfolios that they offer already. So, I mean, but at this, to be fair, even though it took them a while, they're still kind of ahead of the game, as you stated, where traditional banks are concerned, with catching on and at giving the opportunity for their patrons to use.
So, I'm still waiting to see when like the real small banks like Howard Bank, Harbor Bank, when the what you call them, not a community bank, that's not the word I'm looking for. But you know what I'm talking about, the like the
regional banks.
Like I'm waiting to see when they start getting on it, because I remember I had a conversation with a bank in Maryland a while ago, and this was like during the summertime. I had a conversation with somebody from a bank in Maryland, and I was like, "So how are y'all looking at this?" And they were like, "We're not touching it with a 10-foot pole." I said, "Oh, really now?" Mind you, I already know what's going on with the bigger banks. I already know what's going on like with the bigger U.S. banks and X amount of the global level banks, like banks in Japan and like Germany and France.
Right.
And I was like, how does that work? Like, so y'all are just going to wait until they swallow everything up and pretty much try to get the crumbs? And I was told, well, you know, that's just how our head person is looking at it right now.
Okay.
They don't want to touch it, so like no one is doing anything within this particular bank related to it. I was like, so you don't even have somebody who's like at least like trying to stay abreast of what's going on within. And here's the funny thing, you have the conversations that happen at like the more official meetings, right? Mm-hmm. And like the more like regulatory side of the space. But that's not the only thing that influences how this thing is developing and being adopted. Like, if you're not going to certain conferences, or at least trying to make certain like local meetups, or paying attention to certain like news that isn't coming from a quote, you know, a private company or a regulatory body or whatever, like, there's a whole nother set of activities going on a different level that you're not even aware that conversation is happening, because you think you're aware enough because, oh, well, we were at the bankers conference last month and this is what they said based on what the SEC and the IRS were putting out. That's not the only way that this space works.
Right.
And a lot of people are not understanding that at all.
Right. Well, it's back to the example I gave you at the beginning, where, you know, it's not that people aren't being told, absolute flat out told, don't invest in that. I mean, you know, if you want to invest in it, go ahead. But they're also not being necessarily encouraged, because those people in those positions don't have eyes on and they aren't aware and they do only have the one perspective or the one handle based on one piece of information or one particular part of the one side of the square, you know, the cube, I should say. So with that, that still takes us all the way back really to the top, which is generating solutions. So in that case, it's not really for us directly to do, but I'm just throwing it out there. So that, again, that's another form of mental barrier. So because this is what I was taught, this is what I've learned, this is what my field is telling me, this is the information on this side that I know works, and this is what's been reinforced, this information is new, I see patterns that tell me that it can work, but I'm also not getting the reassurance from those that I've learned from or those who are supposed to know what is okay and what is not okay. And so when that comes back to these other professionals, it causes an inability to be able to take that risk or to be able to allow their patrons to take that risk if they wanted to. Because all of it is a risk. We already established that at the top also. So it's just a matter of which risk do you want.
I recently said this to somebody and it was like, you're right on with that one. This whole thing is like a graduate level capstone project, you know? let me clarify that if you don't understand what I'm saying when I say that. If you're in university, aka college, if you're in the military, you know what the FTX is, mm-hmm. or when you go through basic and all that. So it's like, here's this experimentation. Let's try these things and see if we can like be successful at this exercise or this like practical live hands-on test. Mm-hmm. That is this space right now, mm-hmm. and when it's all said and done. Not everyone who started out in the beginning is going to be at the end when like the practical technology and application, more so when the practical usability parts of it actually start like cementing. Is that the word I'm looking mm-hmm. for?
Starts coming together. Yeah.
Right. Everything like really starts coming together. Like. Mm-hmm. You know, what was that, 2017, there was like 2,500 different coins and tokens. Trust and believe, in another 5 or 10 years, is definitely going to be like maybe one quarter of those things that were listed on CoinMarketCap in the summer of 2017 will still be around. Why? Because at the end of the day, it's all going to be about what actually functions and works for what the people mm-hmm. actually need them to do. Mm-hmm. And that's in regards to like the money quote side of it. So mm-hmm. the same thing is going to happen with the tech side of it as far as like what type of blockchain is it? Is it an open source blockchain or is it more scaled towards a private blockchain, right? Like we're going to really understand how far open we could be with it, and mm-hmm. then how far closed we could really be with it, and mm-hmm. what the people are really going to want to actually work with.
Right.
Businesses, yeah. Like, that's just how I'm looking at this whole thing right now. And I know it definitely, for some people, sounds like, that just doesn't sound like anywhere near safe. Huh. Just because the way that you see your current setup system now and you're being told that it's safe, like, it's amazing to me how many people forget, like, how 08 worked out. Like, and I'm talking about, like, grown people, like, my age people. Mm. And it's just like, wait.
And that wasn't even a depression. That was a regular recession.
That was the quote recession.
Right. And okay, like, to me, that wasn't even all that drastic, but you still had people doing some drastic things in response to.
People were taking a life.
I was just saying drastic. But, and the thing is it's something that can be recovered. It may take some time, but it's never worth your life. It's a recoverable thing. And then it's a thing. So that's a whole nother issue. But yeah. So then again, if you're in that space and you have an understanding of it and you're moving your assets as you need to, then you would take that same thing over to this option. And you watch it, or you have someone who's qualified to watch it, and you move your assets as you need to. It's the same thing. I remember talking with someone before, and it was like, whoever understands commodities is going to eat this up because they understand how things move in that space. And it's still going to be the same type of movement. So, yeah. And I remember hearing a long time ago, if you're not a risk taker, then the stock market's not for you. Period.
Not at all.
Just don't even do it. Like, I mean, if you're trying to build and you think you want to deal with that, your best move is to just get a fixed annuity. Yes, I'm throwing it out there. No, I'm no longer a financial advisor with any company, but I'm still going to throw it out there. You can take it and run with it, or you can toss it to the wind. I'm still going to throw it out there. Get a fixed annuity and be done with it and keep your life, please. And be alive to figure it out. But, yeah. So, at the end of the day, I think people who are in business are naturally more risk takers, so they are more likely to step out and see, at least. And then, as we know, it doesn't take a lot. I mean, you can get a partial coin. You don't have to get the whole thing up front. You can just get a small piece. You can get $10. There's an app offering a dollar. You can do a dollar worth of Bitcoin and just see what happens. I mean, really.
Yeah, man. That's the whole thing. Like, dollar cost averaging in.
Right.
$20 every 2 weeks. And, you know, like I said, like you was just saying, Cash App allows you to do it now. Mm-hmm. USAA allows you to do it now. Eventually, you're going to have your M&T Bank, your PNC,
right.
Bank of America. Like, eventually, all of them are going to get on it, too.
Right. And your credit unions.
And thank you.
Because you know credit unions aren't going anywhere. They are the community backbone. So they are going to find a way because they actually have most of the everyday people's bank accounts. So, and they want to maintain that flow coming through. So, yeah.
They're going to have to do something.
Right. So, I guess before we meet again, I'm going to check and see locally which one of our, or if all of our, credit unions in this area have taken that step to at least offer before we meet up again. And I would say, I guess it would be good to meet up again around February. because that should be enough time, if there is something happening in those arenas, for us to have good information back on that. But is there any event you would like to share with the listeners today that maybe they should consider attending or looking into for crypto or blockchain, anything like that? Any advisors you would like to promote today also for those who might say, okay, I'm interested, but I really would like to sit down and speak with someone further?
Okay. Well, of course, there's myself.
Of course.
But, you know, I'm not always one to toot my own horn on things. If you are interested in the trading side of the space, I would say you look for the YouTube channel Ready Set Crypto. I would also say if you're interested in like the new stuff and also on the trading side, because this guy actually makes his own trading bots, Crypto Blood. He also has a channel on YouTube too. Those are two really like knowledgeable people in the space.
Mm-hmm.
Crypto Blood himself, he comes from the whole equity forex side of trading, and now he primarily deals in the crypto side of trading. If you're trying to catch up and like understand what's going on with the news and get it in a more understandable context, mm-hmm. I would definitely say check out The Gentleman of Crypto, another YouTube channel. They also have a podcast, and I think it's under the same name on like iTunes and Spotify, The Gentleman of Crypto.
Okay.
Who else is like really informative? If you are somebody who wants to, let's say, peruse the information and a good source of information at your own like time,
mm-hmm.
I would also recommend checking out Blockchain 101. If you are interested in exploring more about like a career shift, look at Black Blockchain Consultants.
Mm-hmm.
A website that can take you from like A all the way to Z.
Mm-hmm.
Is lopp.net, LOPP.ENET, mm-hmm. Jameson Lopp. His website, you will literally spend months going through all of the links on his website, which are updated on a regular enough basis. I mean, like, literally, it's from A, it's like the basic beginner level stuff all the way down to the coder level stuff.
Okay.
Some pretty good people to look into. And then like this Andreas Antonopoulos, another one, if you're more interested in like the pop culture side of it, Crypto Finally. Who else is interesting? Do Your Own Research is a podcast. He's pretty good too. The point is that there is definitely good sources of information out here. The best thing you can do as someone who has no understanding or very little understanding is start perusing out, whether you're doing it on a Googly or you're DuckDuckGoing it or you're doing University of YouTube. And then you get people who you have more than one person. Eventually, you're going to start cross-referencing the information of what they're presenting to you. Mm-hmm. And you'll find that some people, their delivery and their topics are more in your interest. Some people, not necessarily, because it might be, you know, too one-sided, or it might be too, like, jokey-jokey, or they might focus way too much on the money side, per se, and that's not really where you want to be at.
Mm-hmm.
So go out, look at some of the people I recommended, find some other people, and then just start cross-referencing what they're telling you. And this is going to be the thing that's going to help you build your understanding. As for events, I actually have something that is coming out on December 13th. I recently did a pre-recording for the Virtual Pop Summit, where it was a cryptos and pop culture roundtable. It wasn't a like, oh, let's talk about the breaking news of pop culture and crypto, but it was more so a discussion level segment that was me, a gentleman named Bitcoin Zay. He wrote the book Bitcoin in Black America. The founder of Guapcoin, Tavanya Evans. She's such a interesting lady to talk to. She's a coder, like hardcore coder, and like it was one of those you kind of had to be in the conversation to get why. I'm like, yo, like I was really glad to have her be a part of the roundtable. Who else? Oh, Crypto Blood is also a part of it. And Mackenzie Slaughter, she is the co-founder of Beyond Capital. So it was a roundtable of people who are kind of different parts of the space, who's dealing with the family fund, you know, side of it, the VC side, money side, who's a founder of a company, who's the tech end, who's in the content creation side, and just like our observations of what's going on in the space on the local level of like the US, and then looking at the bigger context globally, and how we're seeing the permutation of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology in the bigger popular culture.
Okay.
So you can check that out at Virtual Pop Summit. You can Google that or DuckDuckGo that too. If you find me on IG or Twitter, I have postings that I do about it. Also on LinkedIn too. I've been promoting that for like the last month. And like I said, it's a 3-day webinar summit. And our segment will be on the 13th. And you can go through the registration at virtualpopsummit.carrd.co.
Okay.
Yes.
Alrighty. That's a lot. And we thank you very much. And I hope that you have a wonderful Christmas experience this year and on today, as it is airing on Christmas for everyone. So I'm looking forward to again speaking with you in the new year, seeing where things are going locally. And then you can fill us in with the global. And just keeping our finger on the pulse, seeing what's happening, and maybe getting an idea of how to move forward with this and find the bridge of functionality between traditional currency and digital currency, and learn which one is best to use in particular situations that you find yourself in, which one would be the better one. So thanks again for being with us, taking the time, and we look forward to speaking with you again. Enjoy your Christmas and have a wonderful new year.
Thank you, and the same to you too.
Thank you. All right, and you guys all have a wonderful holiday and new year also. And again, we look forward to seeing you in the new year. We have a wonderful lineup to start the year. We want to get the year started off right. So we're going to start the year talking about getting your house in order. And so while we had a little talk about that today, we didn't go directly into strictly the finance side of it. But of course, when you talk about getting your house in order, you are talking about finances as well. So we look forward to seeing you on that first, second Wednesday in January.